kingdom identity is that we're made in His image, that we are children of God, and that our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is not so much this earth. This earth that we live on here is kind of like our up north cabin. It's our second home. It's only good for a little while. In Ecclesiastes, how long is a little while? It's a breath. It's like a vapor in God's time. Our citizenship, Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself." So what does that make us here on earth? 1 Peter 2:11 says, here's what we are on earth. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, that's what we are here on earth. We are sojourners and pilgrims. This is not our home as you think of your only home. We're here for a vapor of time, and this is not our primary dwelling. And I'm talking very spiritually here. Obviously, I live on Locust Street in Green Bay, I-4303. That's really my up north cabin, to be honest with you. I actually feel like this here is my home. But it's even deeper than that. This is a body of believers coming together. But the Spirit of God is here, and where the Spirit of God is, that's where my home is. Heaven is my home. Do you believe that for yourself? You believe that heaven is your home? We say that. I mean, I say that a lot of times, that heaven is my home, but do I act like it's my home? I don't. I struggle to act like it because I'm limited on lots of information that I need to have. I'm limited on operating by the power of the Holy Spirit like I ought to do. I get limited. I try to do things in my own strength. That's foolish me. So if we're sojourners and pilgrims, what's our purpose here? 1 Peter 2:13 says, "Therefore submit yourself." This is going to be so hard on this 4th of July celebration period of time. "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the King Supreme, whether to governors who are sent for him for the punishment of evildoers." We submit to the authorities that are above us. And if we're really right on, we pray for the authorities that are above us. We try to do that on most Sundays. Then it goes to verse 15 about our purpose. "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as a bondservant of God. Honor all people. Love the brethren, and fear and honor God." Honor the King. Oh my goodness. That's a lot to ask, isn't it? But that's what he asks. We're here for a purpose. He does give us liberty. And we're celebrating a time when we took our independence from a nation that held us captive abusively through taxation without representation, the whole nine yards, oppressing people. And we got independence from that to come to a country where they established in our Constitution rights that we have as people. We are now independent of another country. But dependence isn't always bad. And our dependence needs to become that on God. We need to become dependent upon Him. Because when we're dependent upon Him, we operate within a system that is perfect. We don't necessarily operate out of freedom that has no boundaries, but we operate out of liberty, which has order. The Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So what is the Spirit of the Lord and freedom? It's liberty. We have it within us. And it's really by the grace of God to do what He would have us do. It's kind of tricky when we start throwing these words around. It's a little bit different. But we don't take our liberty necessarily for our own gain. And that's what I see happening in the world today. People take their liberties and they cry out for more liberty and more liberty and more liberty, but never looking to the authority over that liberty. They want liberty to run rampant. So what they really want is freedom. And that freedom is from authority that God has put in your place. Do you ever hear how even our media talks about not just this president, but the presidents? Always looking to chisel down, belittle. They are the mouthpiece that speaks to the people. And they diminish the authority on a regular basis. I said this before. I would hate to be a policeman in this day and age because their authority has been diminished. And they can pick and choose what they put on a screen and how they put an emphasis on one thing and miss the greater thing that's being done. Oh my goodness, forgive us. Why does that happen? Because we want to be so free that we don't operate in liberty. We don't operate in the covering and protection of an order that's good for us. I heard this statement a long time ago when I first started teaching that liberty, when allowed to run its full course, ends in chaos. Well, I think the statement was read wrongly. I think it's freedom when it's allowed to run its full course ends in chaos. Liberty, when it's allowed to run its full course, is always in obedience to the authority over it, which God has placed. Is that clear? Oh, I'm so glad because I couldn't say it again. And then in Galatians 6:10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are in the household of faith. And we keep coming back to the household of faith, to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Do well to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Love them. I see the divisions that happen because grace and love are not in operation. I see it all over the place. Little things become big things. But when we operate out of a place of love, because we have the liberty to do that, we have the liberty to love. When we operate out of the liberty to love, even those who you're sitting next to in this church, what a thing. Now we're operating as we ought to operate. Amen? I'm just seeing who's awake, that's all. Our second home identity. This is the home up north. This is the cabin. This is where half the church is today, I think. I'm not sure. Mosquitoes, heat, humidity. I hope they're all having a good time. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with them. I hope they listen to this. John 17:14 says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they, and he's talking, speaking about the apostles and the disciples, are not of this world. Ooh. Who is that? Well, we know who the 12 apostles are, right? We went through that in John, and we went through the book of Acts. And we know who the disciples are because we've been through the book of Acts. But you and I are disciples. If we're students trying to learn God's word and who Jesus is, as revealed to us by his Spirit and his word, and knowing who the Father is, he's talking about us as well. And Jesus said to the Father, he says, I do not pray that you should take them out of this world. You're not supposed to come out of this world until he takes you. Why? There's a purpose. He has a purpose for you. What does he pray for them? That they're protected from the evil one. That's how we pray for the believer. Lord, protect them from the evil one. That stinking thinking that they have that I'm struggling with, Lord, protect them from that. Lord, give me the grace to deal with them rightly as they struggle with that. But he goes on to say, they're not of this world, just that I am not of this world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That's what happens here on Sundays. That's what happens on Wednesdays. That's what's going to happen every day throughout the week as we unroll life groups this fall, that people will be growing by the word of God a little more consistently and a little more regularly. We have to know the Word of God, and we have to present the Word of God. Anything in and of ourselves about what we know and what we do, it's irrelevant. It doesn't carry the same weight that the Word of God carries. So we need to know the Word of God and then have a heart to share that with others. So So what are we supposed to do in the meantime? As we're learning the Word of God? Well, Romans 13:6 says, pay your taxes. Titus 3:1 says this, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, to be gentle, showing all humility to all men. That's what we're supposed to do. You've got to be kidding me. Nobody can do that in their own strength. But we have liberty. It's a beautiful thing about this country. We have liberty. And we have liberty in Christ. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. And where does that come from? I mean, how does that liberty, because we have grace that walks hand in hand with liberty and freedom from God, to do what? To have the power to do these very things that it speaks about in Titus. I operate in my own flesh. I can name them for you right now. If I'm operating in my own flesh, I do speak evil of people, even people I love. I'm not always peaceable. Sometimes I'm rough and not gentle, and I don't show humility. I show pride. That's the real me apart from God. But in Christ, I have the ability to do these things. So do you. Amen. 1 Peter 2:13 says, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Oh, no. I'm fighting against the man. No, submit yourselves to every ordinance. For the Lord's sake, whether to the king supreme or to the governors or to those who are sent for punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do good. Wow. Our purpose in our second home up north here. Matthew 5:13. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It has been good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world, the city on a hill. That is why we are here. To be light, to be salt, to a lost world. That is our purpose in our second home here. You see, we too often turn our eyes upon ourselves instead of turning our eyes on heavenly things and what happens in heaven. So when I'm thinking of heavenly things, I'm thinking of people, just like we did at the beginning of the service. Who did God lay on your heart? And if I'm thinking in heavenly terms, I'm thinking, I want them there with us. Because if I don't give them the word, I don't know who will. And God has ordained me for such a time as this to speak to that person that He put on my heart. And to speak life to them, not judgment. Don't be judging anybody who's already been judged. Don't be judging the condemned. We're called to go and be salt and light to the condemned, that they could receive life. That's why we're at this second home of ours. Up north, battling the wood ticks and the high heat and humidity. Not just about fishing. I love fishing. Hopefully I'm going fishing this week. But that's what we do while we're here. How can we do that? Because of liberty. Because of grace. Because of what God has done through us. We can do what He would do. We can do what He told us to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So what's about this independence, this freedom, and this liberty? I really believe when we think about these things, we're thinking about, and this is not wrong either, we're thinking about liberty and freedom and independence, or not so much independence, but liberty and freedom from bondage, from sin, from slavery, from poverty. That's what we're thinking about. And by the way, I want those things too. I don't want to be walking in all those things, those bondages and slavery things. But I believe that this liberty we have is for something. It's a to-do list more than it is a save me, give me, feed me list. Meet my needs list. I don't necessarily think it's about the two-year-old running away from mommy with black and brown hind end because they're messy, thinking they're free because they're not free. They're going to end up with a rash, misery, spanking, all kinds of good things. So independence, freedom, liberty from what? To what? How about concern for my own rights to concern for what's right? How about from unrestrained independence to submission to God? How about from constraint to personal restraint? How about from doing my own thing to doing His thing? How about from having my own way to having His way? How about from personal choice to choosing rightly or choosing His will and not my own? How about self-focus, from self-focus to focus on others? How about from a sovereign nation to a God who is sovereign? And by the way, I love the fact that we're a sovereign nation, though I think we're losing it. We're celebrating something that's diminishing. I love Israel because they're sovereign. I love us because we're sovereign, but I see us losing that, but it's not even about that. I serve a sovereign God. And in my first home, the kingdom of God, He is sovereign. He's sovereign here too, but He's allowing for a time. How do you use the choices and the freedoms and the liberties that God gives you? Joshua 24 said it really clearly. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods of your fathers served, that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you choose that way? And we may say it with words, but do we truly serve the Lord? John 8:31, I've said the scripture before, but he says, Jesus said to the Jews who believed Him, if you abide my word, you are my disciples. Could say, you are my children. You are heirs. He could say lots of really cool things about who we are if we abide in Him. And He says, and then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. When are we free? When we are in Him. When we know the truth. When we know the way. When we know Christ. We are free. Well, then they answered Him and said, well, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you'll be made free? And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, whoever commits a sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Not if a country makes you free, and I love my country. That's not what makes me free indeed. It's when the Son makes me free. I am free indeed. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Once He sets you free, don't go back to the place that held you in bondage. That's why I love Thursday nights, because people, myself included, who have been struggling with a bondage of a sort on a regular basis, were being fed to turn away from the thing that enslaved you before. You've been set free to it. Don't go back like a dog to its vomit. Don't go back to that. You have been set free. Embrace that freedom. Embrace it. You know, their mantra is, keep coming back. Keep coming back. You slip up, keep coming back. And the beautiful thing is, when you come back, they're just there to love you, encourage you, build you up. Because grace abounds in that place. Thank you for that, Jesus. Let me talk to you just a little bit about the freedom we have. We have the freedom to profess Christ in this country. So in this country, I thank every man that fought for this country and continues to fight for this country that we maintain the sovereignty, which gives me a liberty to speak even the truth that I'm speaking to you right now. Thank you, Jesus, for that liberty. Thank you. But that liberty that I have should not be used to cause another to stumble. Here's what I mean. I'm going to give you an example that one everybody will get. If you go home today and you have yourself a can of beer and a brat, you are not going to hell. That amen came too strong, sister. However, if I have a brother in my family that has a has an issue with alcoholism, and I use my liberty to sit down and have a drink with him, or next to him, or as a role model to him, I'm using my liberty to cause him to stumble. God forgive me. I was a youth pastor for, I can't remember, what a beautiful thing that I forgot. For a lot of years, and I was a teacher a lot of years, and I coached enough sports to know that alcohol was a dangerous thing. It's horrible. What alcohol does to youth, and by the way, at my age, youth is up to 45, it does a horrible thing. And for me to take my liberty, because I'm a mature Christian believer, supposedly, and I can have that, and I cause them to stumble, I put myself in a dangerous place. I'm using alcohol because it's such an easy picture. We're in a community where that's all about. It's all about. I remember coaches. They would get a kid who got caught for drinking, and they would just be so in their grill because they got caught drinking. And they'd belittle them, kind of, by their tone and attitudes. I'm thinking, what are you doing? Those same coaches on a Friday night after the football game would be over at the pizza place eating pizza, drinking beer, getting stupid. Yet they judged those kids. Those kids look to what they do, not what they say. Your children look to what you do, not what you say. It's illegal for you. You think they care that it's illegal for them just because of an age thing? You got to be kidding me. They don't think about that. They think about what you do. And they do what you do. What you say is meaningless. It's hypocritical because you do different than what you say. So we don't use our liberty to cause weaker brothers and sisters to stumble. It doesn't say anything in here about causing them to stumble. It says don't do anything to cause them to stumble. You see, this liberty and this freedom that we have is a paradox to the world. It's contrary to what the world is. And the worship team, if you could come forward. In Genesis 2:15, it says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you shall surely die.'" So here's a picture of liberty given to Adam and Eve. You have the liberty to choose to eat of any tree in this garden. But this one here will kill you. If you eat of this tree, you will surely die. And our humanity, what do we think of? Why can't I eat of that tree? You got the whole garden. Why can't I eat of this one? And God has given them and us the liberty to choose. And they chose poorly. Now here's what happens. They choose poorly. And now sin enters the world. And our relationship with God has been severed. Now they have a freedom to eat of any tree they want. But they've lost paradise. What's better? To work under the operation of liberty, where I operate under the parameters that God said because He loves me and He wants to protect me? Or that I lose it all and now I have the freedom to do whatever I want? And right now we live in a world where people have the freedom to do whatever they want, and the government is coming alongside because popular majority is pushing in a bad direction because the culture's had an influence on them. The world's had an influence on them. And we're not choosing wisely anymore. We're choosing death, but we're free to choose any form of death we want. That's really what's happening in the world today. We didn't operate out of liberty. We operated out of freedom. And freedom, apart from God, ends in chaos. Boundaries are good. This whole teaching talked about the boundaries that God lays in our path. But here's the paradox of freedom and liberty. It says, but they kept silent. From the road they disputed among themselves who would be greatest in the kingdom. This is the apostles talking, the disciples at this time. They weren't apostles yet. They're disciples. They're students. And they're talking back and forth, who will be the greatest in the kingdom? And God basically, Jesus says to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. See, we have liberty in this statement that we can choose to be the greatest by becoming the least, by becoming a servant. And that's what he's called for his bride to do, is to be this servant. He's called for his bride to be in submission to him, under his authority, to serve everybody else, to become least. That's humility. That's a strength, by the way. But when we serve ourselves and we want to be first, like the disciples did there, we're moving towards operating out of a different kind of freedom with no boundaries. It's less. It's a lesser plan. Corinthians 9:19, we said this verse a little while ago. It says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. Why did he do that? To all that I might win the more. That I might win the more. To the Jew that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law that I might win those that are under the law. To those without the law, that I would win those without the law. To the weak, that I might win the weak. Then he goes on to say, I have become all things to all people, that I might win some more. He is speaking so clearly about the liberty and the grace that God has given him to reach into a lost population, to win them for the glory of God and the kingdom of God. That's what we should be celebrating this day, is that we have an independence from a world system to a dependence on a God system. That we have a liberty to operate as He would have us operate, under His plan and His authority, that He would bless us in that. We have a freedom to not sow to our flesh, if you will. Does this have anything to do with our country? It sure does. I'm glad we have a country that allows me to stand here and preach it. But let me talk about the sovereignty of God one second. Because of the sovereignty of God, if I did not live in a free country, I would still preach His gospel. And so would you, if you're led by the Spirit of God. I would still preach His gospel. The missionaries go where they don't have that liberty and freedom, and they still preach His gospel, because His gospel and the preaching of it still trumps man. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're going to take communion as the bride of Christ for believers. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, you are welcome to take communion with us today. If you're not, you've never made that decision to say, God, you never asked God to be first place in your life, to be in charge of your life. You never wanted to be under the authority of God, but you hear now, even today, that that's something you want. I want liberty. I want the liberty that He gives. I want to be free from my sin, because that's what He does. And you've never asked Him to forgive you of your sin. So make Him Lord and be free from your sin. If you've never done that before and you want to do that today, what I'm going to ask everybody in here to do is just close your eyes and give somebody that wants to do this for the first time some privacy. It's between them and God, so just close your eyes, please. Is there anybody here that would like to do that today? You make a decision, I want to follow Christ today. I want Him to be the Lord of my life. I'm done being Lord. I messed it up. I want Him to take away my sin, that they're not counted against me. If that's you, I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up real high so I can see it. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Is there anybody? Anybody else? Slip your hand up. Thank you, Jesus. I'm assuming that we're all believers that today. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do, just very quickly, before the ushers dismiss you. And I want you to take a look at your own heart and say, what's out of order? This is just between you and God. You don't speak this out. This is internal. And just say, God, forgive me for that. Whatever that is. Cleanse me. Before I take your communion, cleanse me. You can even do that as you're walking back. So at this time, I'm going to have the ushers escort you back to get your elements. Come back to your seat, and we'll take communion together.